And then just after 2:30 today, my special guest, the TV and radio presenter Ian Lee. And I don't mind telling you, I'm a little bit nervous, Frieda. Frieda Cooper is our lunch break guest today. I've listened to Ian Lee on the radio for years. And I'm a bit of a fan. And what do they say? Never meet your heroes. And I'm a bit nervous because obviously he's used to being the one asking the questions.
Exactly.
He's normally the one.
No pressure on you then.
No, exactly. And now I've got to ask him questions. It's going to be weird for him as well. I'm sure.
It is quite weird when you meet somebody that that you admire and you've got to interview them. I've done that a couple of times when I've had to interview actors that I particularly like. And I was very nervous beforehand, but. I think you'll probably find, I mean, you've done so many interviews anyway, after about the first question, you'll be just breezing it as usual. I'm sure you will.
I'll try not to mess it up. Time then to meet our My Life guest this afternoon.
There are places I remember in my life. I love you more.
And this afternoon, our My Life guest is TV and radio presenter Ian Lee. Hello.
That's the saddest song in the world, isn't it? I love that song. It's one of the most beautiful, but always, it breaks my heart every single time.
So this is a bit weird then, because normally you're the one asking the questions, and yet today the tables have been turned.
When did you first decide to get into radio, Alison? It's weird. I present radio shows elsewhere and do bits and pieces. And I can count on one hand the number of times I've been the guest on the radio show. I hate it. Look how uncomfortable I am. I can't make eye contact. I'm fiddling with my fingers and it's horrible.
But you're here to talk about a live show you're doing at the Comedia in Brighton.
Yes.
So what does it involve? What are you doing? Why are you doing it?
There's so many questions and I've very few answers. So it's, I think Thursday, September the 10th. It's called Ian Lee versus Radio. And basically, I love all things about radio, primarily speech radio, but I adore it and I think it's wonderful. And it's me trying to convey my enthusiasm for it in a 90-minute show. And I convey my enthusiasm for it by playing loads of clips of it going wrong, basically.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's primarily bits where it's gone completely backwards and I'm treading very carefully. I will say now, there is potty language in it. Indoor words are used in an indoor adult environment. So there's lots of clips of people swearing on the radio when they shouldn't.
So these just aren't clips of you. These are all different broadcasters.
There's some clips of me. There's some clips of me being quite good. And there are three clips of me being terrible, at two of which I got in really serious trouble for.
Oh, can we talk about that?
I'd
like to keep my job if that's possible.
No,
when we
we can talk about it. One is when it was a breakfast show and I played what I thought was a family friendly song, and it was.
Yeah, I remember this.
And it's a song about how we should all love each other, and it's, you know, where everyone's the same. But it was written about 40 years ago, and it's got words in it that 40 years ago, I'm actually surprised we were able to use. In 2015, we can't use.
No.
And the Daily Mail picked up on it, and it was weird because they kind of branded me a racist. Even though as soon as it happened, I stopped and I panicked and I apologised and did all the stuff that you do. But I had that thing of my career just flashing in front of my eyes.
That's
thinking,
it.
Oh, man, this is it. You've done it again, you idiot.
But that is the gamble of live radio, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm aware of it all the time. You know, you could so easily say the wrong thing at the wrong time.
And that's what makes it so exciting.
Mm.
And that's why I think speech radio is more exciting than music radio, because music, you play some records and that's fine. But what you do, and what we do, is you invite people that you barely know. And we've spoken online, but we've never met.
No.
And you invite them to come and sit and talk to you in a live environment. And you invite people to phone in. It's completely random. You've got no idea what's going to happen.
No.
That's what makes it so exciting.
Do you think, though, I don't know whether you find this, that there's more people out there trying to play gotcha. People are waiting to be offended.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, completely. Because I really didn't do anything wrong. We played this song. I won't say what the word was, but what was interesting about the backlash is the Daily Mail had a go at me for playing a song with this word. They printed the word in their story 6 times without, you know, completely there.
So who's offending who?
Oh, and then I went onto the if you want a fun afternoon, go to the Daily Mail online comments.
Oh, I found that vicious stuff.
And they're all having a go at me, but not for being a racist and playing the song. for being a liberal lefty and stopping the song. We pay this man's wages. How dare he? One of them was, how dare he force his liberal lefty views on us and stop this classic song midway through? So, yeah, you're right. There are people that want to be offended.
Want to catch you out.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's a tough game to play. We can't win. We can't win. If someone wants to be offended and the wind catches it and it ends up in the right newspaper or in the right blog, then we're in trouble.
You know I've long been a fan of your stuff on the radio. The thing I love about you, and I don't want to make you blush, is the fact that you don't do that whole, hi, I'm Ian Lee, I'm a DJ. You're very real, very down to earth.
Too real sometimes, I think.
Well, yeah, but then I think that that's what good radio is about.
Yeah.
But at times, it must be tough for you, when you're not feeling it, to go out there and kind of expose yourself in that way.
Not in that way.
No.
I wouldn't do it in that way. That has not been proven. What I'm learning to do as I get older, and I've been at loads of different radio stations, because they keep sacking me. It's true. As I get older, I'm kind of learning to rein it in a little bit, because I think in the past I've kind of just stood there and gone, this is me, and and this is going on in my life, and I've got kids and I've got a wife now who I try and maintain some kind of privacy, but I think I still give too much away. I think.
You're very open about how, you know, sometimes you're not feeling it. You've spoken very candidly about depression. You're also quite hard on yourself as well, if you don't mind me saying.
Oh, yeah. Do you
really
think?
Really hard on yourself. Yeah. I thought I was bad. I mean, I've mentioned to you before that voice of the accuser.
Yeah.
You know, and I certainly get that. You know, there'll be some shows where I come off air and I'm like, whoa, that was amazing. And then there'll be other shows where I think, oh, Alison, what are you doing? You're in the wrong job. You can't even do it. You can't even speak. You can't even do anything.
For me, it's... do you want to go there? Let's go there.
On the psychiatrist's couch.
Well, for me, it's low self-esteem. You know, it's as simple as that. I don't like myself, so I can't be any good. And I can do the radio show, or I can do, you know, the live show, and I can have 100 people say, that was brilliant, loved it. And one person will just sit there and go, yeah, it's rubbish. And that's the voice that I hear.
Yeah,
and I maybe I'm more sensitive to it than others, but I think... it's intrinsic in kind of majority of performers, you know, that, you know, what we're doing here is a performance, is that we pick up on that one negative thing, and that's the thing that will wait, you know, you wake up at 3 a.m, flipping heck, maybe they were right, maybe I was rubbish, so... That's kind of Facebook. The internet is the worst thing for it. You know, I've just had 2 weeks off, and I had a week away, and I just kept going. There's a Facebook site that doesn't like me very much, and it's got 230 members. So there's nothing, and I just kept going back and looking at it. And
yeah, don't do that.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Don't do it. It's as simple as that. But I couldn't stop.
There's a compulsion, isn't there?
There's only four people on there that don't like me, and they've all got fake names. All this stuff. It just kept needling me, and I just kept getting this self-doubt, thinking, oh, maybe I'm not, oh, maybe they're right. They're not right. It's their opinion, that's fine. But it just kept,
But it's interesting you say low self-esteem, because people, I think, will be surprised to hear that. You know, they see you on TV, for example, and your TV on-screen persona is... quite cocky.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't ever look at you on TV and think, oh yeah, he's struggling with his confidence.
I know, it's weird that, isn't it? I'm really struggling to make eye contact, because in real life I'm dead shy. I'm really shy. And my ideal evening is sat at home on my own reading a book with the kids in bed, wife in bed, everything.
You.
I love it. It's just an act, you know, it's kind of me, but it's an element of me magnified. And me on TV, I kind of know what they want. They want me to be loud and obnoxious, and they pay me for it. So, okay, I'll be loud and obnoxious.
And you do it very well.
Thank you so much. I make good obnoxious, don't I?
Let's talk about the TV stuff. Because, of course, you first kind of came to fame, for like, on the 11 o'clock show.
Yeah.
Alongside some, you know, massive names.
Oh, yeah.
Ricky Gervais, Sacha Baron Cohen.
There was Mackenzie Crook. There was my warm-up man was Jimmy Carr. Charlie Brooker wrote for it. All of these huge people, yeah.
Yeah, how did you get that break?
I was doing local radio in Milton Keynes, and I hated it. Absolutely hated it. And
why? Why did you hate it so much?
Because I was I was cocky and arrogant, and I thought I was better than it. And it turns out I wasn't, actually. I was really lucky to have that gig, but I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy what I was doing. And the week that I was leaving, a fax came through. A fax. That's how long ago it was.
You might have to explain what that is for a younger listener.
It's an old-fashioned email, guys, but it was like a modern letter.
I wonder whether people still have fax machines?
That you'll have a fax machine working in this building somewhere, I guarantee. Oh, you're the BBC.
You reckon it won't be working anyway.
And it basically said, we're doing a Channel 4 is doing a new comedy show. We're looking for anybody that might be good to present it.
Okay.
And I was skint and I was heartbroken and I'd been for loads of auditions and nothing had come off. And it was like, I'm going to go for this. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to get a proper job and forget all about it. And it was that attitude, that of, it's not going to happen, I think that got it for me.
Yeah.
And I just got lucky. And I was only supposed to be doing little 2-minute films in it. And literally 2 days before it was going to air, they hadn't found their third presenter. At the time, it was Fred McCauley and Brendan Burns. They hadn't found their third presenter. And I went, yeah, I'll do it. And they went, okay, yeah, sure, why not?
Brilliant.
And that was it. And that was how I got it. And it was
a great show.
It was hit and miss. I think you're remembering it slightly through rose-tinted glasses.
Maybe.
But it was a lot of fun.
But it took risks, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's the thing. And that is something you love to do, you know, with your radio stuff, taking a callers live to air, you know, not that whole thing of not knowing what is going to happen
next. That's when it's more fun. The thing about TV is that generally, it's really safe and it's really protected. Even live TV, it's generally really safe and scripted, and there's a lot of preparation goes into it. I'm not saying there's no preparation going into your show now. I'm sure there's been loads. But you do it. You come in, you do a 3-4 hour show, and then it's done and it's gone. And if it was no good, it don't matter. Well, I'll have another go tomorrow. You know, it's, I like that spontaneity of it. You can't afford to be lazy and sit back and not pay attention when you're doing this show.
No, you've got to be on the ball. And what's been your most memorable radio moment, would you say? Is there one call out or one interview that really sits out? Preferably one that didn't get you the sack.
Yeah, I know. That there are plenty where it's, you know, I got the sack or I got in very, very serious trouble. Oh, gosh. I tell you what my most memorable was, and it wasn't funny in the slightest. It was at this I'm at a BBC local radio station now, and my act is kind of not very BBC local radio. It's a little bit louder, and we got so much, there was floy when I joined,
and what is
this rubbish? And we had this old guy phone up called Matt, this old Irish guy. He's in like his 70s or his 80s. I hate you, Ian. He'd phone up, I hate you. I think you're rubbish, I hate you. And we'd let him come on and say his bit, you know. I hate you, I'm never going to listen to you. And he'd phone up every week, I hate you, I hate you. And gradually, and I knew this would happen, we kind of won him round, ever so slightly. We found out his favourite song was Kenny Rogers' Daytime Friends. And so when he came on, we'd play it, and slowly we won him round. And eventually, we won him round enough that he started telling us about his life, and he was telling us about his wife, Margaret, who was in a care home and who was dying, and all of this stuff. Flash forward a year. He phoned us up to tell us that she died, you know. And I had just lost my dad. My producer had just, Catherine had just lost a member of her family. And we were in tears. I don't like crying on the radio. But we were both kind of in tears, you know, as Matt was telling us about how Margaret died and she was at peace. And, and then 20 minutes later, Matt's daughter phoned up and said, I just want to say thank you. Dad is not able to speak to us like that at all. And in that 5 minutes of you talking to him, we got more than we've had in the last couple of months.
Mm.
And it broke my heart. And it also showed me, this is why I love radio, because you get the funny stuff, you get the messing around and the, you know, the noise, but you're in someone's life, you know, and it's a real one-on-one connection.
Mm. It's a real privilege.
Privilege is exactly the word. And if you'd have told me that 3 or 4 years ago, but it's a privilege, and it's an honour, and it's kind of a, you know, without getting too much up my own backside, there's a real responsibility to what
I agree.
You do, what I do, you know.
Mm. What would you still like to do?
I don't know. I want to do a nighttime show. I want to have another crack at doing another nighttime show, because I don't think I got it right last time, and I think I know how to do it now.
What would you do differently?
When I did a nighttime show before, I used to get really angry with the people that were phoning up, and I'd end up shouting at them and they'd shout at me, and it would all got a bit. And one of the tricks I've learned is that it's more powerful just to kind of sit there and quietly just say nothing and let either them hang themselves, or you just come in every now and then with a little point. Yeah. There's still a place to get angry. There's still a place for argy-bargy, but I just think being a bit more controlled. And that's it, really. Do you know, I've been so lucky. God, I sound like an old man. I am old. I'm old. I'm 42. I was 24 once.
Old,
that is old. That is past it. do you know what? I've got no... real TV ambition. I don't, you know, I just want to, here we go, I just want to watch my kids grow up happy. That's it, really. Yeah. That's it. I've done all right. I've had a bit of luck.
Yeah. I think people were quite surprised when you got the local radio gig, yeah, at the breakfast show at Three Counties, because you were known as being a bit out there.
Yeah.
Not very BBC local radio.
Oh,
so
no.
How did all that happen?
I got the sack from another radio station, and I just went knocking on doors. I went everywhere, to be honest, and I had some really inappropriate meetings with some commercial stations. Had a meeting at a commercial station, really big one, and as the guy there, the boss there, sat down and said, sorry, I'm a bit late, I've just had a meeting with all the presenters. I've got them to cut their links down from 27 seconds to 23 seconds.
Oh, and I hope thinking, you left.
Oh, this is not, I can't stop
this
talking.
This is not the place for me.
I just went and knocked on some doors. And I got invited to Three Counties, and Laura, the boss there, and I thought nothing's going to come of this because this is, I am not them, you know.
Mm.
And she kind of, and I was just looking for a bit of cover work, just a few shifts, just to feed the kids. And she said, breakfast's coming up, would you like it? I was like, what? Have you listened to what I do? She went, yeah, and I think you'd be really good at, I think you're what we're after. And she took a complete punt on me, and
it paid off.
Well, the figures are up, you know, I've won her a few awards, and I'm having the time of my life, you know, I'm having great fun doing it, yeah.
Brilliant. The show is coming to the Comedia.
Yes.
People need to get tickets.
September the 10th. I think it's Thursday, September the 10th. It's actually almost sold out. Here's a sweetener for you. The lead singer from Dr. Hook is going to be in the audience.
Oh, here you go.
Dennis is coming. My mate Dennis.
As if you needed more persuading.
There you go. You can
just drop that in.
He might sing Sexy Eyes. Don't ask him to sing Sexy Eyes. He'll be furious. Please don't tell him I said that. He hates that song.
How are you going to deal with that, though? I mean, you said you get shy.
Yeah.
You're struggling to give me eye contact. How are you going to stand up on a stage?
Oh, mate, I hate
it. I'm worried for you now.
I hate it. Standing up on a stage for like 10 minutes or comparing an evening is fun. It's a piece of cake. I've done it loads. That's easy. But doing a whole 90-minute show, this is my first ever 90-minute show on my own, where people have paid top dollar to come. Actually, it's very cheap. They've paid pounds to come and see me. That's so much responsibility. And I'll be honest, I hate it.
Oh,
I hate it. I hate it. I'm not going to lie. I say, yeah, you know, once I get up there, it's a really cool vibe. The show's good. I think the show's funny. And it's, you know, the few I've done, people have really enjoyed it. And I hang around afterwards if people want to ask questions or, you know, want pictures and stuff like that. But the actual act of standing in front, because this is fake, you know, you're talking into a microphone. I'm going to go in a few minutes. So even if this is uncomfortable, I've gone.
Yeah.
Or you have people on the phone, but standing there and there are, you know, 100 people.
You can see the whites of their eyes.
Oh, Alison, it's awful. I hate it. And you're coming as well.
I'm coming. I will be
sit
there.
Sit at the back,
oh, I'm
going
to throw things at you. I'm not.
I'm really selling it badly, and I know. It's a lot of fun for all the family, apart from kids, because it's got swear words.
Please don't bring kids. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you very much.
And this hasn't been that painful, has it?
Oh, it's been awful. I will. I'm going to go and hit myself really hard.
What is the worst interview you've ever had?
Ray Davis of the Kinks.
Oh, really? Why? What went wrong?
Because his PR people come in. Yeah, you can't mention the Kinks. Sorry?
What?
Got Ray Davis of the Kinks.
That's going to be tricky.
We can't mention the Kinks. Okay, and so he was tricky. I want him around because at the time I lived in Muswell Hill in North London, which is where the Kinks are from. Interview was going really badly. And I said, by the way, Ray, have you been to such and such curry house in Muswell Hill? How do you know that? Oh, I live there. Soon as I'd won him round, Ray, could you stop talking about the Kinks now, please, for goodness sake.
Ian, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. I've loved it, Alison. You're very kind. Thank you.
And you can get tickets now to see that show at the Comedia in Brighton.